Della, in this version of here, have you got the sutta at the end, after at the very end of the sutta?
No.
Yeah, just have a quick look here, yeah, because I lost it on my one. But it's at the end. No. Oops.
Is that the end?
Oh yeah. I thought it was the very end. I couldn't find it. No, it's not on there. I wonder what happened to that one.
What?
Sorry? No, it was on the second suit we added on the end. I lost it on my one too. Sorry?
Sorry?
Yeah, there was something extra on there.
Okay.
It's not on there. It doesn't matter. I can read it out, the bit at the end. Okay, I think we can start now. Okay, now the sutta which I have decided to read out this morning, or not this morning, this afternoon, it proves I'm jet lagged still, is the Gatikara the Potter Sutta. And the reason why I decided to read this out today is to make a little bit of difference in talking about the meditation to some of the effects of meditation and like rebirth, reincarnation, and something which some people don't know about the life of the Buddha. And also what it's like if you're a lay person and really become a very powerful meditator and eventually become what they call a non-returner, which is that close to being fully enlightened. What's it like to be a non-returner? And there's a little story at the end, very short, and I can get it up on my little computer afterwards. But this is the story of Gatikara the Potter. Actually, Gatikara means pots, so Gatikara means a potter. But nevertheless, and this is from the middle-length discourses, and for people who first want to read some of the teachings of the Buddha, that's a nice place to start. They've got some very powerful teachings in there, but like many of these suttas, they can be a bit repetitive. So anyway, thus have I heard. And the reason they say thus have I heard is because according to the tradition, all of these teachings were repeated, these teachings on Dhamma, repeated by Venerable Ananda at the first conference, convention, of 500 arahats, 49 beings, to try and collect as much as they could of the Buddha's teachings. And, no, I keep on just going off on tangents. I won't go off on that tangent about why Ananda. Yes, I will go off on that tangent, why Ananda went to that. Because it's about your meditation, this particular tangent. The Venerable Ananda, he was with the Buddha for 25 years as his personal attendant. So he sat next to the Buddha while the Buddha gave all these incredible teachings. And people would come up to the Buddha and say they were enlightened or they said they did this. And he heard everything. But even though the Ananda had heard all these amazing teachings, he wasn't enlightened yet. And when the Buddha passed away, he thought, oh my goodness me, what am I going to do? When I was with the Buddha and he was literally sitting next to me and I couldn't get enlightened then, what's going to happen now he's passed away? There's no hope for me. I'm dead. I'm toast. I'm finished. We never actually said that, but you can understand his you understand his feelings of being pretty sort of disappointed. Had a great teacher there all that time, and he still wasn't enlightened. But afterwards, because he'd heard so much, had an excellent memory, they decided all the other monks who were getting all this conference together to bring all the teachings together, they had to get Ananda to go along because he had such a good memory. And he was right next to the Buddha for years, had all these great teachings. He was like an expert. So they invited him along. And this was at the end of the 5 months after the Buddha passed away, they had this big meeting. And when they had this big meeting, it was the next morning the meeting was going to start. And there were 500 people invited, 499 fully enlightened, except for Venerable Ananda. And you can imagine how it must feel. And I often give the example, imagine how it must feel if at the end of this retreat, on the last day, I say, well done everybody, you're all enlightened with jhanas, except you. that hurts. What? Not me. And you know that's true. And everybody else has got something of attained, but you've got nothing. Zip. You feel very disappointed. So Ananda said, tomorrow's a meeting. So I've got one more night. I'm going to give it everything I've got. I am going to not sleep tonight. I'm going to meditate and meditate and meditate. And just, at least if I fail, I know I've tried. So he stayed up all night, meditating, using every trick he had heard sitting next to the Buddha. And when the dawn came, nothing. Still as deluded as he was when he first started meditating that evening. Oh, how disappointing that was. And in an hour or two, he'd have to face all the other monks, 499 fully enlightened, and he was a failure. And so he looked and said, well, I at least got another hour. I might take a nap. He'd been meditating all night. So he went to his room and he lay down. And for everybody who knows the story knows that before his head hit the pillow, he was a 500th arahat. He'd been running after the longan as a donkey. He'd been running so fast. But now he stopped, he gave up. And then the longan, boom, boom, right into his mouth. So fast. And he became the 500th. And to this day, I call that the Ananda method of enlightenment. So if you want to try that method, after this sutta class, you can go and take a nap. Who knows? One day it might happen. But it is true, because we try so hard, sometimes we realize we're not really letting go. And that's what happened with Venerable Ananda. And just to put the icing on the cake, as it were, how can Ananda prove to his friends that now he'd actually become enlightened? So he decided on purpose to come late. And the 499 were already assembled, and no sign of Ananda. So they locked the door. They locked the door so they wouldn't be disturbed during their reciting of these suttas. And after locking the door, only then did Ananda, the newly minted arahat, enlightened being, make his entrance. He came in through the keyhole. That was impressive. I know that sometimes people like making an entrance, da-da, but that was very interesting to watch. I'm not quite sure how he did that. Like a thing, apparently it was a beautiful light came through the keyhole, and out of that light emerged Ananda. So just make sure everybody understood, he'd made it. So, maybe at the end of the retreat we can lock the doors here. And see if anyone can make it through the keyhole. But anyway, you've got to do lots of naps, first of all. Increase your probability. You know what they say, the more the more lottery tickets you buy, the more chance of winning. But anyway, let's go back to the Gatika, because he was at that conference, that meeting with all the enlightened beings, and he recited. And so all of these suttas, these scriptures, starts with, "Thus have I heard." That's Ananda reciting, "Thus have I heard." On one occasion, the Blessed One was wandering among the coastlands together with a large sangha of monks. Then the Blessed One left the main road at a certain place. He smiled. And it occurred to Venerable Ananda, "What is the reason? What is the cause of the Blessed One smiles? Buddhas do not smile for no reason." So he arranged his upper robes on one shoulder and extending his hands in reverential salutation towards the Blessed One. No, page 81. Asked him, "Venerable sir, what is the reason? What is the cause of the Blessed One's smile? Buddhas do not smile for no reason." And then the Buddha said, "Once, Ananda, in this very place where the Buddha just was standing or sitting, there was a prosperous and busy market town called Webalinga, with many inhabitants and crowded with people. Now the Blessed One Kassapa," that was a previous Buddha, according to the traditions of Buddhism, "accomplished and fully enlightened, lived near the market town, Webalinga. It was here, in fact, that the Blessed One Kassapa, accomplished and fully enlightened, had his monastery. It was here, in fact, the Blessed One Kassapa sat and advised the Sangha of bhikkhus." Then the Venerable Ananda folded his patchwork cloak in four, spreading it out, said to the Blessed One, "Then, Venerable Sir, let the Blessed One be seated. Thus this place would have been used by two Buddhas." And so the Blessed One sat down on the seat that had been made ready and addressed the Venerable Ananda thus, "Once, Ananda, in this place was a prosperous and busy market town called Webalinga, with many inhabitants and crowded with people. Now the Blessed One Kassapa, accomplished and fully enlightened, lived near the market town Webalinga. It was here, in fact, the Blessed One had his monastery. It was here, in fact, the Blessed One sat and advised the Sangha. In Webalinga, the Blessed One, the Buddha Kassapa, had a supporter as his chief supporter, a potter named Gatikara. Gatikara, the potter, had as a friend, as his close friend, a Brahmin student named Jyotipala. One day, the potter, Gatikara, addressed the Brahmin student Jyotipala thus, 'My dear Jyotipala, let us go and see the Buddha Kassapa. I hold that it is good to see the Buddha.' And the Brahmin student Jyotipala replied, 'Enough, my dear Gatikara, what's the use of seeing that bald-headed recluse?' And a second and a third time, the potter Gatikara said, 'My dear Jyotipala, let us go and see the Buddha Kassapa. I hold that it is good to see the Buddha accomplished and fully enlightened.' And a second and a third time, the Brahmin student Jyotipala replied, 'Enough, dear Gatikara, what's the use of seeing that bald-headed,'" actually the way he said bald-pated, you know, was actually very offensive. Basically, that bald-headed good-for-nothing. "Then, my dear Jyotipala, let us take a loofah and bath powder and go to the river to bathe." Because in those days, it was very hot and sticky, and actually people liked to bathe. Now, there was almost like an enjoyment, a pleasure, so much so that even in one of our rules, was actually that in the Ganges Valley, the monks were not allowed to bathe more than once a month in the hot sea, unless there was a good reason. I don't know what the monks smelt like in those days, but it was a case that bathing was considered to be like an indulgence. Strange, but true. So, because of that, he said he wouldn't go see the Buddha, so let's come and have a bath. And now maybe because it was really hot and sticky that sort of you felt really good having had a bath. And very well, Jyotipala replied. So the potter Gatikara and Jyotipala took a loofah and bath powder and went to the river to bathe. Then Gatikara said to Jyotipala again, "My dear Jyotipala, there's the monastery of the Buddha Kassapa. It's quite nearby. Let us go and see the Blessed One Kassapa." I hold that it is good to see the Buddha Kassapa. And Jodhipada replied, enough, my dear Gatikara, what's the use of seeing that bald-headed good-for-nothing? And a second and a third time, he said the same. And he said, enough, my dear Gatikara, what is the use of seeing that bald-headed recluse? Then the Pata Gatikara seized the Brahmin student, Jodhipada, by the belt, and said, my dear Jyotipala, there is a monastery of the Blessed One Kassapa quite nearby. Let us go and see the Buddha Kassapa. I hold that it is good to see the Buddha. Then the Brahmin undid his belt and said, enough, my dear Gatika, what's the use of seeing that bald-headed good-for-nothing? Then the Brahmin student Jyotipala had washed his head. The potter Gatikara seized him by the hair and said, my dear Jyotipala, there is a monastery of the Blessed One Kassapa quite nearby. Let us go and see the Buddha Kassapa. I hold it's good to see a Buddha. Then the Brahmin student Jyotipala thought, oh my goodness, this is wonderful, this is marvelous, that this potter Gatikara, who is of inferior birth, you know that caste system they had in India, he should presume to seize me by the hair just after we've washed our heads. That was a cultural no-no. Surely this must not be a simple matter. And he said to the potter Gatikara, his best friend, you go as far as this, my dear Gatikara? And his friend said, I go as far as this, my dear Jyotipala. So for so much do I hold, it is good to see the Buddhas. And then Jyotipala said, okay, let us go. Let's visit him. So Gatikara the potter and Jyotipala the Brahmin student went to the Buddha Kassapa, accomplished and fully enlightened. Gatikara, after paying homage to him, sat down at one side, which that was a sign that he was a student and a follower of the Buddha. While Jyotipala exchanged greetings with him. And when this courteous and amiable talk was finished, he too sat down at one side. Gatikara then said to the Buddha Kassapa, Venerable Sir, this is the Brahmin student Jyotipala, my friend, my close friend. Let the Blessed One teach him Dhamma. So Jyotipala was introduced against his will at first to the Buddha Kassapa, and the Buddha Kassapa taught Jyotipala some Dhamma. Then the Blessed One Kassapa, accomplished and fully enlightened, instructed, urged, roused, and gladdened Gatikara the potter and Jyotipala, the Brahmin student, with an exposition of the Dhamma. At the conclusion of that exposition, having delighted and rejoiced in the Blessed One Kassapa's words, they both rose from their seats, and after paying homage to the Buddha Kassapa, keeping him to their right, they departed. It was a sign of respect, you know, in India, that when you left, you'd keep your right side towards the object of respect. And in these days, you'd find that when anybody does a circumambulation around, say, a Bodhi tree or a stupa, they'd always keep their right side to the object of reverence. And you'd even see these days, if you see videos of the Hajj in Mecca, the pilgrims who go and see the Kaaba in the center of the Grand Mosque, they always circumambulate it three times, keeping their right shoulders to the object of worship. It's a very ancient ceremony. And you wonder, there must be some connection there. And then the Blessed One, keeping on their right, they departed. Then Jyotipala asked Gatikara, now that you've heard this Dhamma, my dear Gatikara, why don't you go forth from the home life into homelessness and renounce and become a monk? And my dear Jyotipala, don't you know that I support my blind and aged parents? Then, my dear Gatikara, said Jyotipala, I shall go forth, I shall renounce, become a monk. So Gatikara the potter and Jyotipala the Brahmin student went to the Blessed One Kassapa, accomplished and fully enlightened, and after paying homage to him they sat down to one side, and Gatikara the potter said to the Blessed One Kassapa, "Venerable Sir, this is the Brahmin student Jyotipala, my friend, my close friend. Let the Blessed One give him the going forth," that's the novice ordination, "and the Brahmin student Jyotipala received the going forth from the Blessed One Kassapa. And he also received the full admission," that's the monk ordination, the second level of ordination. Then not long after, Jyotipala, the Brahmin student, had received the full admission. A half month after he'd received the full admission, became a fully ordained bhikkhu, the Blessed One Kassapa, having stayed at Wabalinga as long as he chose, set out to wander towards Benares. Wandering by stages, he eventually arrived at Benares and there went to live in a deer park, Isipatana. Now I'm going to skip a number of paragraphs and go towards the end. But then we're going to come back later on to see what happened when the Buddha went to Benares. And we go back to paragraph 23. Your paragraph 23 there? Now this is the Buddha, fast forward, finishing off this story to Ananda. "Now, Ananda, you may think thus. Certainly someone else was a Brahmin student, Jyotipala, on that occasion. But it should not be regarded thus. I," said the Buddha, Gotama, "was a Brahmin student on that occasion." That is what the Blessed One said. The Venerable Ananda was satisfied and delighted in the Blessed One's words. So, the Buddha Gotama, when he was living close by to the former Buddha, who was Kassapa the Buddha, there you will see that, I'm just getting this other one as well, let's see, there you will see that the Buddha to be, our Buddha, when he was invited to go and see the previous Buddha, Kassapa said, "Nah, I don't want to go." And he was almost forced to go by Gatikara, his friend, to see the Buddha Kassapa. He didn't want to go, but as soon as he went to see the former Buddha, there he was convinced and became a monk under Kassapa. So our Buddha, the Buddha, and say our Buddha of our time, Gotama, he was a student of the previous Buddha. And I tried to put this to the end of this sutta, but it seemed to have disappeared from it. But nevertheless, we now get another reference to Gatikara. This is from the Samyutta Nikaya. And I'm just going to... this was just after the Buddha's enlightenment. I mean, our Buddha's. Under the Bodhi tree, that the Buddha was visited by a heavenly being. And the heavenly being said, I'll do the whole translation. Some of it you may not really understand, it's not really important, but the bit at the end is what's important. "Seven monks reborn in Awiha," which is to the west, "have been fully liberated. With lust and hatred fully destroyed, they have crossed over attachment to the world," said this heavenly being to the newly enlightened Buddha. "And who are those who have crossed the swamp, the realm of death so hard to cross, who having left the human body have overcome even the heavenly bonds?" And he gave their name, Upaka, Palaganda, Pukusati, Badiya, Badadeva, Bahudanti, and Pingya. Good is the word you speak of them, of those who have abandoned Mara's snares, whose Dhamma was it? Whose Dhamma was it that they understood, whereby they cut through the bondage of existence? It was not apart from the Blessed One, it was not apart from your teachings. By having understood your Dhamma, they cut through the bondage of existence. Where name and form ceases, stops without remainder, by understanding that Dhamma here, they cut through existence. And Siddhartha Gautama said, deep is the speech you utter, hard to understand, very hard to grasp. Having understood whose Dhamma do you utter such speech? And the heavenly being told the Gautama the Buddha, in the past I was a potter, Gatikara, in Wehalinga. I supported my mother and father then as a lay follower of the Buddha Kassapa. I abstained from sexual intercourse. I was celibate, free from carnal ties. I was your fellow villager. In the past, I was your friend. It's me who knows these seven liberated meditators with lust and hatred fully destroyed, having crossed over attachment to the world. And the Buddha said, ah, just so it was at that time. As you say, O Bhagawa, that is a sort of term of respect to this old friend. In the past, you were the potter, Gatikara, in Wehalinga. You supported your mother and father then as a lay follower of the Buddha Kassapa. You abstained from sexual intercourse. You were celibate, free from carnal ties. You were my fellow villager. In the past, you were my best friend. And such was the meeting that took place between those friends from the past, both now inwardly developed, bearers of their final bodies. And that was in the Samyutta Nikaya, in the Gatikara Sutta. But I always think that that's really, really cool. You know, just the Buddha and his old friend from the past. And Gatikara, the potter, because he would have been a non-returner. And non-returners mean they're so close to being enlightened. And when they pass away, they go to what we call the Sudarvasa, the pure abodes, where that they stay there and they never get reborn again to this world. Heavenly beings delighting mostly in deep meditation, and from there they pass away. And Gatikara was one of those. Disciples of Kassapa, the Buddha, previous Buddha, as was Siddhartha Gautama in a previous time. And for those of you who know your stories of the Buddha, who was another one who even went to congratulate the Buddha even before Gatikara? He was a heavenly being called Sahampati, who came just after the Buddha was enlightened, the Buddha Siddhartha Gautama, and he said to him, teach for the benefit of the many. There are some with little dust in their eyes. Please teach for the happiness and benefit of the many. Sometimes they call him Brahma Sahampati, but that's not a god. It's the same level of existence as Gatikara. Because Sahampati was also a monk under Kassapa the Buddha. I think it was called Upaka. Interesting, just how all these previous lives. I told one previous life about that girl who was anorexic. But you know, that's pretty sort of, you know, this is like people who've been meditating before, friends. And one of them becomes a Buddha. And the other ones come to congratulate him. Well done. Have you heard that before? Interesting stuff. And that's straight from the sutta. And the Gatikara is in the Devata Samyutta, number 50. And this one over here is a straight one from the Majjhima Nikaya. Anyway, let's go back to paragraph 14 of the Gatikara Sutta. Now this is going to say something about what it's like, you know, to be a person like Gatikara, as dirt poor, really fine person, looking after the Buddha Kassapa, and just how, you know, people who are really on the path, how they behave. And sometimes Gatikara, the pot of the layperson, puts many monks to shame. And we're going to see now. Now King Kiki of Kasi, that's a Benares, heard, "It seemed that the Buddha Kassapa has reached Benares and is living in a deer park, which is right next door." So the king had a number of state carriages made ready. Oops. And also, it's the trouble with these things, you press something and then you lose your place. Had a number of state carriages made ready, and mounting a state carriage drove out from Benares with the full pomp of royalty in order to see the Buddha Kassapa. So obviously the king was very impressed with Kassapa, much more than Jotipada was. But obviously Jotipada saw his mistake, became a monk, and then eventually became our Buddha. "He went thus as far as the road was passable for carriages, and then he got down from his carriage and went forward by foot to see the Buddha Kassapa." And I often use these similes of, you can go as far as a carriage can take you, and then you go by foot, and then actually to go into the hall where a Buddha is seated, you have to take off your shoes. And that's just like the various meditation objects which you use to get deep into your mind. You know, use your body awareness as far as body awareness can go, and then you go over to your breathing, which is far more refined, and you take your breath as far as it can go, and then you get off from the breath, as it were, and you go into these nimittas, mind, and then you take that nimitta as far as it can go, and then from the nimitta you go into the jhanas. So it's a simile. You don't take all of awareness of the breath into the jhanas. It's like, you know, driving a state carriage into the meditation hall. It just won't fit through the door. So every one of these vehicles of meditation takes you so far, and you get out of it, and then you go for something else. It just happens naturally. So anyway, so he went as far as is possible for carriages, got down from his carriage and went forward on foot to the Blessed One Kassapa. After paying homage to him, he sat down on one side, because there was no main big hall there, so it was just on the outside, so he didn't need to take off his shoes. And the Blessed One, the Buddha Kassapa, instructed, urged, roused and gladdened the king with an exposition of the Dhamma. At the conclusion of the exposition of Dhamma, King Kiki of Kasi said, "Venerable sir, let the Blessed One, together with a sangha of monks, consent to accept tomorrow's meal for me." And the Blessed One Kassapa accepted in silence. Then, knowing that the Blessed One Kassapa had accepted, he rose from his seat, and after paying homage to him, keeping to his right, he departed. So the king invited the Buddha and the followers there, the sangha, to have a meal. Then when the night had ended, King Kiki of Kasi had good food of various kinds prepared in his own dwelling. Sausages, beans, oh no, it didn't say that here. I'm reading into it. Whatever is the food at that time, the best. And so in those days, red rice, dark grains picked out, many sauces and curries. He had the time announced that the Buddha Kassapa accomplished and fully enlightened. "It's time, Venerable Sir, the meal is ready." Then it being morning, the Buddha Kassapa, dressed, taken bowl and outer robe, went with a sangha of monks to the dwelling of King Kiki of Kasi, sat down at once at the seat made ready, and with his own hands, King Kiki served and satisfied the sangha of monks headed by the Buddha with the various kinds of good food. When the Blessed One Kassapa had eaten and had put his bowl aside, King Kiki took a low seat, sat down to one side and said, "Venerable Sir, let the Blessed One accept from me a residence for the rains in Benares, like a monastery. There will be such service to the Sangha." And the Buddha said, "Enough, King. My residence for the next rains retreat has already been provided for." He refused, the king. A second and a third time the king said, "Venerable Sir, Let the Blessed One accept from me a residence for the rains retreat in Benares. That will be helpful for the Sangha. Enough, King. My residence for the rains has already been provided for. And the King thought, the Blessed One Kassapa, the Buddha, does not accept from me a residence for the rains retreat. And he was very disappointed and sad. Then he said, Venerable Sir, have you a better supporter than I am? The King was saying, have you got a better supporter? I have, great King, said the Buddha. There is a market town, way smaller, less wealthy than a city like Benares, called Webalinga, where a potter, named Gatikara lives. He is my supporter, my chief supporter. Now you, great King, thought, the Buddha Kassapa does not accept from me a residence for the rains in Benares, and you were very disappointed and sad. But the potter Gatikara is not and will not be so sad. The potter Gatikara has gone for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. He abstains from killing living beings, from taking what is not given, from misconduct in sensual pleasures, from sports, forced speech, from wine, liquor, and intoxicants, which are the basis of negligence. In other words, he keeps those five precepts. He has unwavering confidence in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and he possesses the virtues loved by noble ones. And straight away, that is code for he's at least a stream winner. He's a noble one. He is free from doubt about the Four Noble Truths, suffering, the origin of suffering, cessation of suffering, the way leading to the cessation of suffering. He eats only one meal a day. He observes celibacy. He is virtuous, of good character. He has laid aside gems and gold. He has given up gold and silver. In other words, he doesn't even use any money, this Gatikara. We'll find out how he lives in a few moments. He does not dig the ground for clay with a pick or with his own hands. And this is a potter. Where does he get his clay from? What has broken off river banks or is thrown up by rats, he brings home in a carrier, and when he has made a pot, he says, let anyone who likes set down some selected rice or beans or lentils and let him take away whatever he likes. Not really barter. Here's my pots I made. You can take one if you want and leave whatever you want in return. And he supports his blind and aged parents. Having destroyed the five lower fetters, he is one who will reappear spontaneously in the pure abodes and there attain final nibbana without ever returning from that world. And the Buddha Kassapa speaking to the king, on one occasion, when I was living at Webalinga, that was in his monastery there, it being morning, I dressed and taken my bowl and outer robe, I went to the potter Gatikara's parents and asked them, where has the potter gone, please? And Venerable Sir, your supporter has gone out, said Gatikara's blind parents. They didn't know there was a Buddha coming to visit them. But take rice from the cauldron and sauce from the saucepan and eat. And I did so and went away. Then the potter Gatikara went to his parents and asked, who has taken rice from the cauldron and sauce from the saucepan, eaten and gone away? Who took it? They didn't know it was a Buddha. My dear, the Blessed One, the Buddha, did this. Then the potter Gatikara thought, whoa, it's a gain for me. It's an enormous gain for me that the Buddha Kassapa, accomplished and fully enlightened, has so much trust in me. And rapture and happiness never left him for a half month, or his parents for a week. On another occasion, while I was living at Webalinga, it being morning, I dressed and taken my bowl and outer robe, went to the potter Gatikara's parents and asked them, where's the potter gone, please? Venerable Sir, your supporter has gone out, but take some porridge from the vessel and sauce from the saucepan and eat. I did so and went away. Then the potter Gatikara went to his parents and asked, who has taken the porridge from the vessel and sauce from the saucepan? This must be the origin of the Goldilocks story. Who's been eating my porridge? But this is much more inspiring than that. My dear, the Buddha Kassapa accomplished and fully enlightened in. Ooh, the Potikatikara thought, it's a gain for me, a great gain for me. The Blessed One accomplished and fully enlightened has so much trust in me. And another time, the rapture and happiness never left him for a half month or his parents for a week. He was so inspired. On another occasion, when I was living at Webberlinga, my hut leaked, little kuti. Then I addressed the monks thus, go, monks, and find out if there's any grass at the Potikatikara's house. And they said, Venerable Sir, there's no grass at the Potikatikara's house, but there's grass thatch over his workshop. Go, monks, and remove the grass from the Potikatikara's workshop, said the Buddha. And they did so. Then the Potikatikara's parents asked the monks, who is removing the grass from the workshop? Sister, the hut of the Blessed One Kassapa is leaking. Oh, take it, Venerable Sirs, take it, dear ones. Then the Potikatikara went to his parents and asked, who has removed the grass from the workshop? And the monks did, my dear. The hut of the Blessed One Kassapa is leaking. Then the Potikatikara thought, ooh, it's a gain for me. It's an enormous gain for me that the Buddha Kassapa has so much trust in me, and the rapture and happiness never left him for half a month, or his parents for a week. And then that workshop remained 3 whole months with the sky for a roof, and yet no rain came in. Such is the Potikatikara. And the king was saying, oh, it's a gain for the Potikatikara. It is a great gain for him that the Buddha Kassapa relies on him thus. In other words, his generosity was just, whoa, he'd give anything. And Katikara was a poor potter, was a worker, no money. Just made a few pots with whatever he could find and just left them up there on the bench. Anyone who wanted one could take one. He never checked, and they would leave him, not money, just rice and lentils. Then the King Kiki of Kasi sent to the Potikatikara 500 carloads of red rice and also source materials to go with it. Now, that's what kings do, they really overdo it. Then the king's men went to the Potikatikara and told him, Venerable Sir, there are 500 cartloads of red rice and also source materials to go with it, sent to you by King Kiki of Kasi. Please accept them. The king is very busy and has much to do. I have enough, said Gatikara, and said, let this be for the king himself. In other words, he didn't need it. All that sort of huge amount of gifts. No, the king can take it back. Now, Ananda, you may think that certainly someone else was the Brahmin student Jyotipala on that occasion, but it should not be regarded thus. I was a Brahmin student Jyotipala on that occasion, and Gatikara was my best friend. So that was a nice little moving story of just how the Kalyanamitas we have, we meet one another from life to life, and sometimes we don't know, you know, why we are meditating together many times before. And just financial stuff, wealth, money and goods, they're not so important. So the Gatikara, even his blind parents, were so inspired that if the Buddha came to their house, oh please, just take it. Because the joy they get, not from material stuff, but from the joy of generosity, of giving, of serving, was way, 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 way more important than just money or rice or whatever else people live by. And that friendship, you know, went to another life where Jyotipala, the one who abused Buddha Kassapa, didn't recognize him until his friend Gatikara literally dragged him by the hair to see the Buddha Kassapa. And is so thankful. And Gatikara came to see him, pay a visit to his previous friend. You're enlightened now, well done. But both of them were just in their final bodies, so, pretty okay, Gatikara. And that was the previous life of the Buddha, our Buddha. Interesting stuff. Any questions or comments on that? But I also like the bit about, you know, this was a layperson, poor potter, and still did so much inspirational, if you like, progress on the path. A non-returner. And just no sort of concern about stuff of the world. Okay, if the Buddha takes... The Buddha took my goods. Oh, wonderful that somebody made use of them much more than I could. And he just blissed out for a couple of weeks. And then just not really, don't want to harm anything, so would never dig the earth in case... The reason never dig the earth in case he might have hit some little animals and killed them. Beautiful, inspiring being. So if you want to say, oh, you know, do I have to become a monk or a nun to be enlightened? Well, you'd be like Gatikara. You get that far, whoa. Then all the monks will be sort of coming to your house, you know, for, not for rice or for thatch, but they'll be coming there to listen to the Dharma and be inspired by you. Any comments or questions on that? Okay, I've got 1:45. So let's finish off with a guided meditation. If you need to go to the toilet or something, just meditate in the toilet. So, you're sitting down, it's only about 10 or 15 minutes. And you just close your eyes. And with your eyes closed, just feel your body. And just relax it to the max. Your body, eventually you regard it as your best friend. It's a vehicle for you, so you look after it, you care for it. And certainly you don't push your body so it's achy and pains all over the place. Otherwise, the body will resist meditation. It won't look forward to meditation. It doesn't want to meditate because it's too painful. So be kind to your body. And one of the reasons we close our eyes when we meditate, if you've got an itchy nose, you can pick it, because no one is watching. You can scratch anything, as long as it belongs to you, that is. Because there's this nature, and sometimes I have an itchy nose, but you may have an itchy, you know, head or something. So you don't need to feel embarrassed when you've got your eyes closed. You've got a sense of privacy, of seclusion, of solitude. Here you are sitting alone, but safe. Nothing will harm you. So you can experience your body and really relax it. And it is like that simile of a guitar string. When you pull both ends, it's called tension. And when both ends are pulled and stretched, the little impingements of life, the sound, a thought, hits your body or mind, and it reacts, just like you hit the guitar string. Bing! But when you loosen the tension, you're not pulling both ends of the string. When it's at ease, free, it's so loose, something hits it and it never resounds. You're letting it go, you're letting it be. You're soft, invulnerable, and don't react. You're at peace. A guitar string with no tension. Your body free and at ease. And then you go to your mind, the emotional world. And you imagine you're like Gatikara, simple potter. He doesn't attach, grasp, own anything. Whatever you have, anyone can just take it away, make use of it, and give them some rice and some beans to look after your family. You trust in karma. So you have no attachments at all. Now is where your future is made. So by being pure-hearted, peaceful, kind, in this moment, you are making the very, very best for your future and your relations' future, your friends and everybody's. This is the most we can ever do. In this moment, making peace, being kind and being gentle. And our attention is like the sun, bringing light and warmth on this which you're experiencing now. Whatever this is, sound of the birds, sound of my voice, the peace, the warmth. We don't try and understand this moment. We just let it be. Now is the only time. What you're experiencing right now is the most important object in the whole world. And your job, your only job, is to care. Mindfulness and kindness. And like Gatikara, you don't want anything. You just are trusting that with your pure heart, you'll always get what you need. So you're free. Free of all planning, all scheming, all worrying. You just are aware and kind. You don't do anything. You just observe with kindness as your lotus starts to open out. The body tends to be distant. The present moment dominates. There's past and future, they don't disappear, they're distant from you. They're not so important. You may even start to notice your breathing, going into the flower that is your lotus. And again, you don't disturb the process by taking notes or giving orders. You are the silent bystander. Your mindfulness, you're not will. And little by little, in this moment, waiting in this moment, not waiting for something to happen, you start to feel peace. Delightful peace. You can feel it, taste it. As you understand, this meditation is an emotional path, not that one which is defined by intellect, but by defined by the emotion of peace, inner beauty, delight, bliss. You'd be surprised, even this far, you can have a sniff, a whiff of peace and bliss. Just like when you go past the kitchen and they're cooking. You can't taste the food yet, but you can smell it. You can smell peace and freedom. It smells good. And that draws you in to more silence. Here you are safe, free, and you're resting. And my goodness, you deserve this. All of your friends and relations will be the better when you are recharged, free and happy. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give. Your peace, your kindness, which you develop right here. You don't need to do anything. If you try and hold this emotion, it flies away. If you just open your heart, like opening the hand, the bird just comes and sits on your hand and doesn't leave. You try and hold it and it flies. You can't own and put peace in a cage. It's your friend. It spends time with you. You spend time with her. Peace. Freedom. Open your eyes now. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Do it a bit softer in case anyone's really got into the meditation. Excellent. So it's just gone past four. So wish you a happy afternoon. Another hour and it's a tea time. And this evening it was some Dhamma talks, some questions and answers.